Today's reading can be found on page 1042 in the Pew Bibles. It's Colossians 1, 9 to 14. Oh, sorry, page 1182. Try again. 1182. Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Penny. Well, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Right. This month, we're spending some time looking at Paul's letter to the Colossians, and we're thinking about how we can live in Christ. And last week, Paul the vicar, spoke to us about how we can be a family, how our church can be a family, and that we need to be a family of real love and of real faith, and that if we achieve this, and actually this will be really attractive to other people and they'll want to come and be a part of this family. So, what do we know about the church in Colossae that Paul is writing to? Well, we know it's a fairly new church. They're fairly new Christians. We know that false teachings have begun to filter into the church, and some of the Christians there are starting to mix together some of the Christian beliefs and drawing in a few other philosophies and ending up with a slightly muddled faith or religion. Now, what Paul wants to do in his letter is to really set the record straight. Paul wants to let them know that Christ is all we need. We don't need to look anywhere else for anything, any other faiths. Christ gives us everything we need. So in the section of Colossians that we're looking at today, we find out that Paul gives them guidelines by which to live their lives. Now, we can learn a lot from Paul's advice too. These guidelines are as relevant to us today as they were to the church then. So what does Paul say to them? Well, in verse 9, he begins by saying that he prays non-stop for this church. Now, I work as a teaching assistant in a school, and I work in a class with 4 to 5-year-olds. And on a Monday morning, the children can come in and share their weekend news. And sometimes the stories that we have from the children are slightly far-fetched. For example, one child went to Africa for the weekend. You know, you have to weigh these things up. Probably not true. Another child gave us a story that, you know, could have happened, and he said that he went in a hot air balloon over the weekend. But with a little bit of questioning, we found out that actually he was on the ground. He saw a hot air balloon up in the sky, but, you know, he wanted to be a part of this story, so he was in the hot air balloon. Now, when we look at Paul, he doesn't embellish stories. He doesn't exaggerate. He's really quite straight. So if he says that he is praying non-stop for the church, then really we can believe that. Now, the prayer that Paul provides to these new Christians is like a lifeline to them. They really need this firm bedrock of prayer to keep them secured in Christ. And if you are a new Christian, and perhaps you don't know Jesus really, really well, then as different circumstances get thrown at you, or other ideas come, or perhaps even a tragedy happens, it's quite hard to keep firm in your faith, and it's easy to start thinking, well, you know, if God's a God of love, why did that happen? Actually, we really need the prayers of other Christians to help keep us secured to Christ. We need to stay connected to Christ as we grow. So we know that Paul prays continuously for the church. So what exactly does he pray for? Well, this is what Paul says that new Christians, and in fact more mature Christians, should be asking for. So he writes in verse 9, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives." So Paul wants these Christians to discover God's will for their lives, for the life of the church, and for the lives of all Christians. Now, if we are trying to find out what God wants for us, we can spend time in prayer asking these sort of questions. God, what do you want me to do with my time? Or sometimes even, God, what do you not want me to be doing? Sometimes we need to step back to allow somebody else to be released so that they can grow and learn. Lord, what passions have you given me? Am I using the gifts you've given me? If we're thinking about the church in general, we might ask, God, what do you want us to be focusing on as a church? What plans have you got for our church? What do you want me to be praying about? Now, these aren't questions just to be asked once and we get an answer and that's where we stay for the rest of our lives. These are questions we need to keep asking God. We need to keep checking that we are in the right place, that we are where God wants us to be. And I was thinking back to when I first came to St. Francis. I've been here about 12 years. And over that time, God has moved me around and got me involved in different areas. When I first came, I joined the worship band. I did that for a couple of years. And then I really felt very strongly that God wanted me to get involved with the youth group. So I helped out with that. And it was a time when God really helped me to learn to trust him. And it was really important that I listened and I went to help with that group. And then as my children were quite young, I really felt actually it was more helpful for me to be involved with the children's work. And God gave me a real passion to do that. And he gave me a real heart for the children and for just getting involved with all the activities and organizing parties, different things that have gone on. But then there came a time where God was saying, right, I'd like you to step back from that now. And I find myself up here. So, you know, now God's saying, I want you to get involved in the services. And he's been, you know, wanting me to lead a home group, just doing different things. But I have to keep applying those questions. God, where do you want me to be? And I know that it doesn't stop here. It will continue on, and I have to keep asking. And actually, it's such a wonderful thing to feel and really believe that you're in the right place. You're doing what God wants you to do. Doesn't mean it's easy. There will be tricky bits. There'll be struggles. It will be scary sometimes. But actually, there's that peace that I am in the right place. Now, sometimes it can be hard to really discern what God wants us to do. Sometimes we might pray about it ourselves, but we feel like we're not getting a clear answer. So the lovely thing about a church is that we are a family together, so we can support each other. We have things like the prayer ministry that goes on at the end of the service. You can come up and you can pray about something with the team up here. We have wonderful home groups, and actually it's such an amazing place. It's a small, little sort of close-knit family there, and you can bring all your issues or worries or decision-making to that group, and people will pray through those things with you. And actually, it's a really good way to hear God's voice and get clarity. Also, we could have prayer partners or prayer triplets. And I feel very blessed to have a prayer partner. And there are just so many different things we've prayed through. And it's just been wonderful. And God really speaks to me through that. So as we learn to live a life where we pray regularly, we read the Bible, and we are obedient to God, hopefully, we will also begin to live lives worthy of Christ, and we will be pleasing to him. So Paul prays that the Christians in Colossae will be bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that they might have great endurance and patience. Surely this is what we want our lives to be like. Surely we want to be bearing fruit in every good work, where we are showing kindness and patience and love and forgiveness to all those around us, those that we are caring for. Surely we want to be growing in the knowledge of God, where we are seeking to know the truth of who God really is, that he is a God of love, that he is a God of forgiveness, and that he gives us every opportunity to turn to him. Surely we want to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, where we are equipped with God's strength in all the things that we do. We don't have to do anything in our own steam. We don't have to be afraid of our own limitations. God is with us in everything, in every challenge. We want to have great endurance and patience. We want to be so secure in Christ that when troubles come, we can stand firm, we can remain confident that he loves us and he is on our side. Lastly, Paul prays that they will give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let us be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we are full of joy. Let's be full of thanks for what Jesus has done for us, that he died and took the punishment for our sins. Let's be thankful that the way to heaven has been opened up and we have the promise of life with Jesus to come. So to finish, let's ask ourselves, are we committed to praying regularly? Let's think about some of the things we can do to really improve our prayer life. Now, I do love home groups. I have to say I'm a big fan. So I would urge you, if you're not part of a home group, try and find one. Speak to Paul. See if there's a group that you can join, because it's just so much better not to be on your own. It's so much better to be part of a unit that can support you. And it helps to draw you in, and it helps us to just pray together. Perhaps you could find a prayer partner, just somebody that you can trust. You can pray through all those difficult issues. So let's make praying a high priority in our day. If we're getting the prayer bit right, we're bringing everything to God, then everything else is going to fall into place from there. Let's make sure we are moving closer to Christ. Let's do what we can to make sure that we are really part of this church family. Let's aim to be a church soaked in prayer. So let's just take a few minutes to pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, if you've put it on our hearts to actually change the way we do things, or actually think, yes, I want to be part of a home group. Lord, I just pray that we will be moved. Lord, help us to be brave and just make those steps forward to becoming part of a home group or just praying more regularly at home. Help us to really understand how important prayer is to everything else that follows. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Kate. We're going to spend some time in worship now, and